Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Laura Jackson, and welcome to Secrets of the Side Hustle, the podcast from the Sunday Times Star that's all about phenomenal female founders and how they turn their passions from a bit on the side to a thriving business. From beauty to manufacturing, tech to finance, and more. On this show, we get the ins and outs, ups and downs of setting up your own company. You can subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do this via whatever podcast app you normally use. This time I sat down with Zafran O'Sullivan, who founded 5.Botanics with her husband. She offered an absolute shedload of helpful tips and advice, so definitely not one to miss if you're thinking about starting your own side hustle. Here's Zafran. Hi, Zafran, how are you?
Hi, really good. Thanks so much, Laura.
I don't honestly know how you even have the time to talk to me. You are so busy and juggling so much. I mean, how do you do it?
Oh, I think, I get asked this question quite a lot, but actually I think it's quite a ruthless attention to how you use your time. Having a business, I've got 3 kids and a job, but all of us chooses to use time in a different way. So, if someone's watching 20 hours of, a box set a week, it's the same sort of time I'm spending doing something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just talk about your business, 5.Botanics. It's an incredible skincare brand. If people haven't heard of it, could you explain it to us?
Yeah, so 5.Botanics is all about minimal ingredient skincare. So we only use 5 ingredients in any product, and it's all plant-based. And we sort of set the brand up in opposition to kind of the complexity that we saw was happening in personal cosmetics, was like kind of 20, 30, 40 ingredients and no one really understanding what they were putting on their skin. So it's sort of a move to minimal, not just in packaging, but just in the actual ingredients themselves.
Yeah, because your manifesto is do more with less. Do you think that's really important for businesses today to commit to positive and sustainable actions within their practices?
Yeah, I had a really, years ago, when we were I had the idea for the business, I remember sitting down with a really big industry sort of personal cosmetics person, and they were fascinating. They were from Unilever. And she said to me, because we thought sustainability was like this USP in personal cosmetics. But she said, there is no future for any brand that hasn't got sustainability at its heart. So it might seem niche. This was years ago, niche now, or like a USP, but don't hang your kind of brand on it, because it's going to become everything. Everything will have to do it. So it was a really good bit of advice. So it's part of our ethos. It was absolutely how we hardwired the brand. In beauty, it's a very wasteful industry. Ultimately, we have a lot of disposable items. It is changing, but we do need the big brands to change quickly, because we've got small brands like us doing it, but you sort of need the mainstream brands to be doing it to get real take up.
Absolutely. I think we're also obsessed with where our food comes from. Everyone watches Seaspiracy once and then decides they're never eating fish again, but nobody to the same degree looks at what they're putting on their face, which then goes into their blood system, which is then in their body. And people don't really think about beauty products in that way, which I actually don't understand why there isn't more sustainability, in inverted commas, within and in the beauty industry?
It's really interesting. I mean, you know, for years brands sold us stuff and we just accepted it.
Yeah.
But we chose to buy it. But actually people are empowered now to question everything. In the US, obviously, clean beauty, it's not a term we use for our products, but was massive because it's so unregulated. We're really lucky being part of the UK that it's so heavily regulated what we can put on our skin. But I do think that people are suddenly starting to think, oh, what is the effect of using a synthetic chemical on my body? Not just this year, but over 10, 20, 30 years. What's the compound effect? What does that mean for me later on? So I think it's an interesting space, but we tend to not scaremonger. We are for people who just want radical transparency about what they're using, and we're all plant-based.
You started this company with your husband as well. What is it like running a business with your husband?
Oh, do you know what? I think you have lots of different hats on in any relationship. You have we're not like husband and wife when we're dealing with the business. We're like partners because we have to be quite objective about why decisions are being made. So there's no space for us to sort of fall out with each other. You can't have a strop because you're always trying to solve a problem or move your business forward. But yeah, we're now pretty relaxed about it now. We sort of understand each other. So it's quite good, you know. You never escape it though because you're sort of together all the time. So the default is always you always want to talk about the business.
Well, I guess it's just finding your role within that business and kind of working together in harmony. And as you know, you do the things that you do and he does the things that he does, and that kind of, they just play alongside each other.
Yeah, you need to have really clear roles and responsibilities. As long as you have the same values and you're headed in the right direction, the same direction, you agree on what that direction is, then once you separate the roles and responsibilities, you have accountability to each other for the things that you would do, but you're not interfering in each other's work. You're doing work to achieve a common goal.
Before setting up 5.Botanics, Zafran had no experience in the beauty sector. I wanted to know how she even came up with the idea, let alone how she built such a strong company in a brand new, well, at least to her, industry.
The weird thing is, because I'd not come from the beauty industry, I didn't feel particularly weighed down by how people had done stuff in the past. You know, you sort of approach it with a fresh pair of eyes. What does gender neutral skincare look like? What does skincare look like if it's massively inclusive from the start? What does skincare look like if instead of 50 ingredients, you have 5 ingredients? What does skincare look like if it's all manufactured in Britain? What does skincare look like if your packaging is sourced in Britain from other small providers? We just ended up being able to be quite fresh in our thinking. The beauty industry wasn't an industry that I ever liked growing up. You know, it didn't reflect people like me. It didn't reflect a lot of what I sort of valued, I think. And so it was quite nice to be able to create a brand that was centered around what we think, you know, skincare should be. And in a weird way, even though we sit in the beauty category, I think we're more like health and well-being. We're just like, you know, health is objective. Having strong, healthy skin is objective. Being beautiful is very subjective. Does someone think you're beautiful? And I don't really ever want to get caught up in that.
I find that so interesting because, like you say, you're not weighed down by knowing how you're supposed to start a beauty brand or what should be in a product, or but then again, how do you even begin to start a beauty brand? Like, where do you go in terms of sourcing ingredients, looking at it, like the scientific compounds to making a product? Like, where do you even begin?
I mean, I suppose it starts with what was the objective. So when I had the idea for a skincare brand, I had to ask myself, did I want it to be just a lifestyle business or did I eventually want it to become a scalable brand? It took me a long time to be able to admit out loud I want it to be a scalable brand. The reason it's important to distinguish that up front is because that guided the path we needed to take. Because if I said, oh, I'm just going to sell at farmers markets on a Sunday once a month, then I could mix it in my kitchen sink and be like, okay, I've learned how to make this. But if I was saying, actually, we want to invest money behind it, create a brand that scales to the UK and beyond, that could be available in a shop, you know, what is the regulatory compliance? What do I need to be able to do? Who can manufacture it? I hadn't got a single contact in the industry. And I signed up for a course to do a diploma in cosmetic formulation with Formula Britannica. At that point, I thought I'll become a cosmetic scientist. Obviously, I didn't become a cosmetic scientist. That's not how the story went. But at this moment, I was like, how do I learn quickly about cosmetic formulation? Signed up, realized very quickly I needed to hire a cosmetic scientist. I wasn't going to, you know, that I had a business vision, but I wasn't going to be in the lab. But what happened was by taking this course with Formula Britannica, I got instantly plugged in with people who were already in the indie beauty industry. And one of the biggest things that I've learned is that you need to partner up. You need to have a really big contact set of contacts that you can lean on. And so overnight, I made loads of friends with other students who are all wanting to become independent beauty entrepreneurs. But in the meantime, I was then sniffing around looking for my cosmetic scientist. And I finally got put in touch with one through a contact who said, you know, this guy is amazing. He's just come back from the US. He formulates for major brands, but he can never be talked about publicly. He's a gun for hire. And I was like, God, you know, like, we're like nobody. And he deals, makes stuff for really big people. So don't worry, he's lovely. And they put us in touch with him. And I had this list of all these things I wanted to make with all these crazy ideas. And he said, I'll take you on. I'm not going to do all of those things for you. I'm just going to do one. And I was really put out. And I thought, and he said, you know, let's just see how we get on. And I realized he was sort of not bothered. We were never going to be his biggest client money wise, but there was something in our relationship that made him interested in the product. So we ended up having this long relationship with him. He's still our formulator, and I asked him after about a year of working together, why did you take us on? And he said, you know, Zafrin, I have brands knocking on my door every day, add more ingredients, add more this, add more that. I'm doing an ice cream at the moment that has 50 ingredients in, and he said, no one's come to me saying take it all out. And he said, I totally believe in this idea of just five ingredients, where you've got high percentages of exceptional ingredients offering great efficacy to consumers. And, you know, I think he liked the energy we brought to the project, and we were very respectful. And he had actually come from a personal private passion of herbology. So I think in a weird way, when you get to people's deep passion, you know, even though he'd gone on to do loads of other things, I think there was something about the project that had excited him.
I was going to say, I feel like relationship is a really important word there. Building relationships with people, building trust, building a bond, so that people believe in what you're doing and you can work together to make something really incredible.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the mistake when I was younger I made was that I used to think everything was transactional. You know, when you were the customer and there was a provider, you sort of focused on like this output as a result of a transaction. But whereas the biggest geniuses in our business, if I think of our designer or our cosmetic scientist, they're not transactional. There is a transaction, but they are delivering exceptional work, but for a relationship or a shared vision. And, you know, because you get on, you know, with each other, and it's going to be an adventure, and they're curious, and together you'll get to a new place that no one's ever been before. And there's some such pleasure in it, and such delight for everybody involved.
So talk me through the process, because if you've got an idea, how do you get that idea from infancy to market? What's the process in the middle?
On a product business, you would need to look at, you know, what do you want to achieve with it? Are you creating a brand? Is there any intellectual property in it? Is what you're creating going to be unique, or are you like reselling something that's already made by someone else? For me, there were a number of different prongs I needed to learn. How are you going to sell it? What's the retail model? So is it going to be B2B? Are you going to sell to wholesalers? Are you going to sell direct to consumer? So our vision had always been like to build a community and sell direct to consumer. So, you know, if you're going to sell direct to people, you know, what's your website like? If you're going to sell it, what's your fulfillment like? Who's going to deliver it? How much does your postage cost? What's your packaging like? How do you build a community that want to purchase from you? How do you build up your website list? How do you get traffic to your website? Do you pay for it? Is it organic? Is it direct? What other content do you need to create to market your brand? All of those things were things we had to learn from scratch. We'd never done anything like that before. And that's all sort of the end stuff. That's once you've already built built your product. If, you know, if you're building a product, it's then, you know, who will manufacture it? What's your legal obligation? What are the insurance you need to get? How many tests do you need to do before you finally get a finished product? Does it need to go in a box? Is it going to have a label? Does it have a barcode? If you're going to sell more than one of it, if it's going in a box of six, did you know you need a different barcode and that needs to go into a different box that then goes to a warehouse shipped under a different, you know, I mean, in a weird way, when I talk about it, I think it's completely insane that we decided to launch a personal cosmetics company, because there's a reason why big brands dominate this space.
When they launched the business, they did so with just six products. I asked Saffron to tell me why, for Five Drop Botanics, less was definitely more.
Beauty's following fast fashion a little bit by like having constant product launches. So this idea of like, what's dropping next? What's the new hero product? Whereas our ticket was always strong, healthy skin. So everything we make is about creating a good skin, like a good barrier to your skin. So we use lots of really, you know, antioxidant plant oils, vitamin rich ingredients. And we're like, okay, you just need this for healthy skin. And it's not to say we won't launch more products. We've got two or three other products in, and we've got a hair product coming out later this year. So it's our first foray into scalp health. But we just never felt there was a need for lots of products. And also, I just think, you know, we didn't want to contribute to the noise in beauty. We're sort of a minimalist brand. It sort of didn't suit us to have like 40 SKUs. And it's very difficult maintaining lots of SKUs as a new brand. And as a young brand, you could get really confused in how you spend your money and what you put your efforts behind if you just launch loads of product, because, you know, you've only got a limited amount of time and money to spend marketing. So put it behind your best product.
I'm talking about budgets and things like that. Is this bootstrapped by you and your husband? Have you had investment, or, you know, what stage are you at with the company?
Yeah, so we bootstrapped it, but I did what they always say never do. I took out a massive loan. And they were, I always said, don't borrow. I was like, who's got money? You know, like, who's sitting on piles of cash? It feels kind of crazy now but I just felt, you know, I didn't want to come to when I was 60 and having saved up all this money and be like, okay, now's my time. You know, the time is now for me. So we bootstrapped it to launch. So that was from 2017 in product development. 2019, we're finally ready to launch. So we launched in July 2019. I'm pregnant with my third baby. And in the February of that July, before we'd launched, I'd actually applied for investment and I'd been turned back. I don't know, in my head I just thought, oh, we're going to get investment straight away. Obviously people have to pitch thousands of times, but what's really amazing was they wrote back and they told us why, and I closed the feedback. I was really disheartened, and then I opened it all back up again, and I thought, this feedback is excellent, actually. You know, we need to learn to tell our story better. And then in October 2019, I was about to go on maternity leave, and I wrote back to them and said, I want to repitch, because I knew I was about to go on maternity leave. So I thought, you know what, what's the worst that happened? They say no, and then I've got a baby and it'll be all fine. I'll be distracted. And then they said, yeah, that's great. And so we just repitched, and I went on maternity leave, and they said, okay, we actually want you to come in. We're really seriously thinking about investing in you. I was massive, like absolutely about to like literally go into the hospital. And I said, I don't want them to know I'm pregnant. And my husband was like, there is no way you can go to this meeting and they're not going to know you're pregnant. I just wore a massive dress, you know, do this pitch. It's 4 hours. And we come out and I go into the hospital because the baby's going to be induced. And being induced, and it's taking days. And then I can see the phone ring in the hospital, which is Paul, one of the investors. And I take it and I'm just like, oh, so stressed out. You know, I know why the baby's not coming out, because I'm like so highly strung. So just, you know, just letting you know, we're going to invest. And yeah.
And the baby popped out.
And the baby literally does.
No, like, way! You
know, it doesn't literally pop out there and then, because obviously I'm not that far into the labor, but I am in the middle of being induced. And I was like, that's great. Thanks very much. Great. And then the baby was born. And our first investor meeting, they were like, okay, so we'll meet you for your first board meeting. And I just literally had a brand new baby, and I just had my boobs out, sat on the sofa in his house, because at this point, you know, then we're like, I had a baby, and they're like, wow, we kind of thought you might be having it. We didn't know it was like about to happen. And that was my maternity leave with new investors, navigating something I've never done before.
So you have won quite a few beauty awards. Do you think that they're important in this space?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that as an unknown brand, to get in front of retailers, we needed to show credibility. And those awards are a sign of, you know, people have tested them, like them. We've been recognized by other industries. But no, in the sense that we are constantly listening to what our customers say. So we're, you know, whether it's on social media or they write to us, and what they think about our products matters the most. So, you know, the awards are brilliant, and they have helped us get our retail deals and actually have doors open, because people know, okay, you're a small brand, but your products must be good. But our customers, the real people that use our products every day and come back to us, are the most important people for us.
If you like what you hear and fancy a little bit more, you can get it. Subscribe to The Times and The Sunday Times for less than £1 a day. Just visit thetimes.co.uk/secrets of the side hustle to start your free trial.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Given how successful the business is, it's easy to forget that this is still a side hustle for Zafarin, who juggles managing Five Dot Botanics with her full-time job as head of business and legal affairs for a TV channel and raising 3 children. She's amazing. I can't tell you where Zafarin finds the time, but maybe she can.
I don't know. I'm ruthless with time. It's small amounts of effort every single day. So when I first started off the business, I promised myself one thing, 15 minutes a day. Rain or shine, I would just spend 15 minutes a day on my business plan or my business or doing something for my business. But it's like when people go to the gym, they say you stay longer. You can see I've got an obsession with going to the gym. I've got no time to go to the gym. And a lot of it's planning. So you imagine with businesses or things that stuff is going to happen overnight. Nothing happens overnight. Building a brand takes years. And so if you're preparing for just doing small things that will move you towards a goal every single day, it's just using your energy in the right way.
But was there a rush for you to get your product to market knowing that it was so good and believing in it and just wanting people to see it? Was that not kind of a time dependency thing?
Yeah, but you can't rush launching a product to market because there's always a certain minimum threshold that you're going to have to go to. It's a long game. It's a long, patient game. Maybe not all businesses are like that. And only time will tell if it's the right approach. But I think patience and stamina and not having burnout is really important, because otherwise you're sort of trying to do everything. You're putting all your energies into something, expecting a quick reward, when in fact it could be years of just slow, slow, steady progress. It's not very glamorous in that sense. But, yeah. It, you know, you hope that it will it's more manageable for everybody. Everybody can have a side hustle. Everybody can do it. But you do have to be prepared to compromise on things. You can't do everything.
And how do you stop from burning out? What do you do to look after yourself?
I do love doing Five Dot. I get enormous pleasure out of it. So it doesn't feel like, it's not like a job where someone's paying you for it. And, you know, it's quite pleasing. But yeah, you know, I've got a young, really young family. So they need you to be in the moment. You know, my six-year-old wants to play, and that's, you know, you're not playing with your mobile phone in your hand, checking your emails. You just have to play. Or, you know, my eldest wants to, you know, go on a walk, or my little one is very tiny. You know, you find ways to escape. I think probably need to spend more time doing relaxing things, but I don't know, relaxing things can sometimes stress me out.
Yeah. I mean, how do you manage your time then with a full-time job and a side hustle? Is this your evenings and weekends?
Yeah. So, and also, like, full-time jobs are no longer linear. So it's not like you're sat at your desk 9 to 5, you know. You can spend your downtime, or you can pick things up at different parts of the day. I'm an early person, so I probably whittle off like quick wins really quickly from my phone. We are in a really exciting place. We hired our first employee last year, which was amazing because we created a job from someone who'd been furloughed and had a really sad experience of a year being on nearly a year on furlough. And we're taking two new Kickstart trainees through the government scheme for 16 to 24s who are NEETs, you know, out of, you know, potentially on universal credit for like ever, because the COVID has really scuppered their chances of getting jobs. So, you know, we're slowly building a team of people that are working, and it's not just us doing all the doing. We're much more busy with the strategic planning, you know, what's our next retail deal. It does help that I'm a lawyer, so I'm not fazed. With any side hustle, you bring yourself and your other experiences to the job. It's not like I have this job and the side hustle exists. You have to use the strengths you have from other things, and that's what makes the side hustle accelerate quicker, unless you're doing something completely radically, you know, I don't know, like trained to be an opera singer or something different. And so a lot of my day job, which is about process, clarity, project management, managing risk, you know, how to make a business decision, was brought into being able to look at things quickly and be able to make a judgment. I think the key is just being super focused on what you need to do on all of your tasks. So it can't be spaghetti in your head. So a lot of my time is spent unraveling what I think needs to be done, because through panic you can just start doing stuff for the sake of doing it, and it's just spaghetti. You're doing things, but none of it's logical. But actually, if you spend like 70% of your time unraveling the order in which things need to happen, actually you can be hugely effective with that 1 hour.
I also read something really interesting, which I love, is that you founded a group called Female Founders. Which is a network of beauty entrepreneurs, and you've got 2,000 people globally signed up. I mean, to say that you didn't know anybody in this industry and you've built this incredible brand and then founded this group of female entrepreneurs in the beauty industry, it's just incredible.
Oh, you know what? I love this group of women. And it came out, so I had there's two big failures. So the first failure was when I didn't get my investment. I mean, that same year I had a second failure, was I didn't get Sephora Accelerates, which I then obviously then got. And the same year I then got the investment. So Sephora is huge, you know, as a, you know, personal cosmetics retailer globally. And they do an accelerator where they pick like 12 female founders across the globe to help nurture their business, where they think they've got lots of potential for a particular reason. And I just was like, it's going to be me, you know, in that weird way. It's got to be me. It's really, really competitive. And it's a really outstanding program. And so when I originally didn't get it, I said, you know what, we don't need a corporate program to become a network of women that can help each other. I just gathered up all the women who had also got the failure letter, like, you didn't get it. I was like, we're going to have female founders in beauty, and we're going to help each other have these amazing brands. And I didn't think it would take off as brilliantly as it did, but I've made friends in like the Netherlands, the US, in Nigeria, in Hong Kong. The indie beauty market, or the desire for independent, like beauty entrepreneurs is huge. It's massive, especially in the natural and organic space. Some of them don't want to be massive brands, but there's so much space for small boutique brands. And they're, some of them are amazing marketeers. Some of them are exceptional cosmetic formulators. Others are brilliant, have come from web development. Others are kind of teachers, doctors, accountants, you know, like other, like this is like their other passion. And we ask the group everything, you know, who knows how, you know, about X, and the people like, I know this person, you know, who knows about like exporting to here? Oh, I know. And it's just like this massive information hub. And they're mainly side hustlers, I would say, you know, in that group. Because they're ambitious, you're sort of inspiring each other. So one day, you know, you'd be like, oh, my business is taking like forever to grow. And then someone would be like, no, you've got this. And you're like, yeah, I have got this. And that you've got this. And it actually is just really encouraging, because your friends don't get it. Your friends and family won't get it. It's a very lonely thing being a side hustler. Only other side hustlers get it, you know, like, because it's on paper, looks completely irrational. Have a job, spend all your free time doing another job that's massively stressful, may or may not reap, you know, give you any rewards, could cause you a lot of heartache and could be disastrous, but possibly might do all right, you know, and like it will consume you constantly. Like it's not massively rational. And so when you know other people doing it, it's really encouraging, I think.
As always, we like to give our guests the chance to set their own questions and throw it forward to the next guest. Here's what Bespoke Binny's Natalie asked Saffron and what Saffron set for our next founder.
I would like to know, if you weren't running the business that you're running now, what would you be doing?
I think I'm really interested in kind of probiotics or prebiotics, you know, things to do with gut health. I think that's a really interesting space to be in. So maybe it would be something to do with foods or supplements, but I think that would be an area I'd be interested in. I think it's going to boom that whole area as well. So yeah, something like
that. I do too. Definitely. I feel like this whole vitamin market that is huge in America is definitely having its time for sure. I think sometimes it's the people who you follow on Instagram and the algorithms of just what pops up. And at the moment, it seems to be quite a lot of that kind of vitamins, gut health. It feels like it's about to be huge.
I made a really great friend during COVID, like the lockdown, and she and I traded products. And she's a kimchi maker. She's a South Korean kimchi maker. And obviously like amazing for your gut health, these kind of fermented foods. And I then traded her like my skincare products. And it was this beautiful relationship, but I was just so enthralled with her products, that kind of area of these kind of artisanal fermented foods that are so good for you. So my question is, can you describe a time when you worked on something outside your comfort zone, and what did you do to overcome it?
I could talk to Saffron all day about her business, but I think she's busy enough. So I rounded things off by asking one final question. What does the future look like for 5 Dot Botanics?
So we're growing quite rapidly. We've secured some like quite big retail deals. So I think we'll continue to grow in the UK. We've just taken on a new investor in the Middle East with a new Middle East distribution deal. So I think we'll be big in the UAE and Egypt. And then we've just taken on our first deal in Hong Kong. So the interest in the brand internationally has been huge. We get a lot of emails from people in the US who want to see the brand. But I think probably in the next few years, we will scale quite significantly, but you know, in our own time.
Thank you so much. This has been so interesting. It's been amazing. I think that you're amazing. I can't believe that you've built all of this while being a mum of three and having a full-time job as a lawyer. It's amazing. Thank you so much. I absolutely loved speaking with Saffron and learning all about her amazing business. You can buy some of her products at 5.botanics.com and check out their Instagram by searching 5.botanics, all one word. Both of these links are also in the episode description.
Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Just do it on whatever podcast app you normally use. Next time, I'll be joined by Avila Chidume, founder of inclusive greeting cards company, Avila Diana.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.